everybody joining me live tonight around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WRB 3.185. Glad to have you in here with us tonight. Got a great program. Part three of the firstborn. We're going to talk about it tonight in detail. We're going to tell you exactly what the firstborn means, what the purpose is, what the consequences are for those who do not know or who cannot grasp the importance of the firstborn. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you really look at the scriptures as the way it is intended for you to look, the firstborn is a birth, and it is a system that Yahweh chose from the very foundation of the world. The firstborn, as we read in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verses 15, that he was in the world, and of course, he was the firstborn. And what that really means is that he was the first one after the death of Abel to type a renewal, if you will, of a covenant that Yahweh had made before the times of the appointments. You're going to make the appointment, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to answer to the call. And I'll assure you, ladies and gentlemen, once and for all, that Yahweh is the King of Kings, and he's coming after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. What is his name? Most people don't think it's important, but it is. What is the consequences of not having his name? Well, the Bible says that there's only one name given under heaven that's got salvation. That name is above every name. And if you don't have it in your forehead, according to the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 4, you're not in the firstborn assembly. And the firstborn assembly is what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we know that it's a time of what we worship around the world, and we congregate in different places and residences and buildings and things, and we decorate our homes, and you see the bright lights and the tinsel and the things that we now practice in the pagan rituals of Xmas or Christmas. And the Bible is clear on when, where, and how that the Messiah was born. It wasn't on December the 25th, and that's an era of tradition, and it came from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, way back in the days of Nimrod. 10 and 11 of Genesis will tell you just exactly how and why that these pagan days were set up, and that was to take away from you the truth that would deliver you. Come out of her, my people, is the inheritance, the factor. And if you can't come out of her, which is the book of Revelations 18, verse 4, come out of her, my people. I know them that say that they're Jews, but are not. The power of a people that call themselves Jews, who has now got a stranglehold on most of the nations, particularly America. They have come in and claimed to be Jews. Anybody that opposes them are anti-Semitic. Will never break their hold. clothes and became the firstborn. This was according to the scriptures, the long-awaited Messiah of the true house of the Hebrews, not the Jews. Everybody wants to think that the Bible is written to the Jews, the Old Testament, and that the New Testament is written both to the Jews and the Gentiles because of the wording and the things that are put into the text to give you that indication. But it's not true. The Jews, who are from the house of Judah, are only 1/13 of the equation, because there's 13 sons that are going to inherit in heaven. If you turn again, like I said, to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations, you will read that there were 12 gates into the city. Now, the 13th gate was for the firstborn priesthood, if you will. And all of the sons who have made up the sacred circle, they are part of the equation of not the Jews, but the Hebrews. Now, you got to recover from this great lie, and you'll never recover until you know the truth about the serpent people. There is a people that claim to be Jews and are not, but are out of the house of Satan. This is in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3 of the book of Revelations, verse 9. A confirmation in the mouth of two or three witnesses without ever word. This is the Messiah speaking himself, the one who should have known. If we go back to the 8th chapter of the book of John, we find that he met and looked these people right in the eye. He told them that they were out of the house of Satan, but they claimed to be Jews. How is it that some people that profess to be Jewish are not Jewish at all, or from the house of Judah? It's because of the great mystery of the book of Genesis, chapter 38, where the serpent infused his blood into the bloodline of the firstborn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do we mean by that? The first thing right off the bat of Reuben, which was the first of Jacob's strength, Satan tempted him to violate the covenant of the firstborn. And he did so when he lay with one of Jacob's wives. This was an incestuous act. And for this cause, Jacob rent the firstborn birthright out of his hands, and it became now Jacob's choice in the family to give it to whomsoever he would. And he gave it to the 11th son. Then this son's name was Joseph. He's a perfect type of the Messiah. And we have proven over and over and over that the Messiah came from the bloodline of David, and David himself came from the bloodline of Boaz. Boaz redeemed, as the kinsman redeemer, he redeemed the bloodline of Ephraim, Joseph Ephraim, according to the first chapter of the book of Ruth, that all three, Amalek and his two sons, all three were Ephraimites. Strong's number 6, 6, 9, 70, 71, 72, and 73. The root word is from, or a descendant of, Joseph Ephraim. Now, with this knowledge, you've got to come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. The unclean is to mix and mingle with the world. Their traditions, learn not the ways of the heathen. Some people will be presents under the tree, worship in Talmuz, and the sun is UN, not the SON. And they have changed the truth into a lie. Just like the sons of Satan, when they begin to multiply among the Israelites in Genesis chapter 46, when they went down to Egypt with the sons of Jacob, this was a mixed multitude of Canaanite blood infused into the house and the bloodline of Yahweh himself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the marvelous results of this is the biggest deceptional lie in the world, as they have won the preeminence, and they have come before you as God's people, and they've won the sympathy of the Christian world, who are themselves dumb, blind sheep that have no knowledge. They won't study, they won't pray, they won't fast. They certainly will not support preachers that will preach the truth. They withdraw themselves for various reasons. Truth hurts. And Satan is mad at those who have the truth. He come to kill. He come to steal. He come to destroy. He come to falsely accuse. He come to do all of those things that are in his little delivery bag of tricks. And Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. And he comes around on December the 25th, and he convinces the Christian world, particularly the Anglo-Saxons, the blushing people of the earth, who have walked into this deception of December the 25th being the birthday of the Messiah. Now, why are we so gullible? The Bible says that we love a lie. It is so much easier to participate in something that is false, because it seems like that there's no effort to believe it. It's just like you're sitting in a boat and it's drifting downstream, and you don't have to push, you don't have to row, you don't have to toil. The way that seems right is so easy and acceptable that it would deceive the very elect if possible. The truth is going against the grain of tradition and the semi way. You're always paddling upstream, and the opposition is always trying to derail you, to falsely accuse you, to pull all of their support, and those that would support you, pull it out from under you, that the truth could not be heard around the world. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is in the Bible, says that there shall come a famine, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of Yahweh. And tonight, when you sit and in the corner, you see your Christmas tree blinking back at you, and then the book of Jeremiah in chapter 10, verse 2, would certainly, most certainly come to your mind. Learn not the ways of the heathen, for they go into the woods and they cut down a tree, and they bring it home, and they nail it to the floor, that it moveth not, it speaketh not. And they decorate it with silver and gold, and lights, and ornaments, and say that they're worshiping the birthday of the Messiah. How could the Messiah have been born on December the 25th? As I've said before, and we're going to teach on this very principle, perhaps either Friday night or Saturday night. You don't want to miss the rest of the series, that we're going to preach on the actual birth date somewhere in the vicinity of the spring, and not in the dead of winter. ladies and gentlemen, there's so much deception. We know that he was conceived somewhere after the 6 month, conceived. Now, she carried the baby to a certain time, and we know that the baby arrived just a little quicker than she'd anticipated. And she was caught off guard. It seems in the Bible that he came just a little bit sooner than he should have, according to the time. We're going to discuss that and show you part of the deception of the firstborn, and we're going to really take into account that the firstborn has the preeminence. Let me show you something right here. In the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 29 and 30, Yahweh tells the Israelites that their firstborn, their cattle, and the sheep, and anything that opens the matrix, including their sons, must be offered to him on the eighth day of their life. Likewise, the firstborn of the Israelite children, or rather the redeeming sacrificial lambs, which were the parents that brought back their newborn babies from Yahweh, must be offered on the baby's eighth day of life. In the case of a boy, he coincides with the day of his circumcision. The baby was presented to Yahweh at this time, and although the parents had redeemed the baby, Yahweh still claimed the firstborn as being special to him and still belonging to him. Now, note the eighth day presentation. When was the eighth day? We've got these preachers that come on and they babble. And they dabble about with tradition and say that the seventh day was the Sabbath day and there's no such thing as an eighth day. But ladies and gentlemen, if that's true, we got some problems in the Bible as concerning the eighth day. Exodus 22:30, do the same with your cattle and your sheep. Let them stay with their mothers for 7 days, but give them to me on the eighth day. Now, when was the eighth day? Well, if we follow the pattern of a rotating 7 day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as the Gregorian calendar would have you believe, a rotating 7 day, that there's no monthly times to be kept in the Bible, that you must start on the seventh day and go to the next seventh day and so on and so forth without an eighth day. You can never get to an eighth day on a Gregorian calendar. There's no eighth day on the calendar. And these preachers that would like to hide these scriptures and the faults and the process are the ones that came out of the belly of the beast of deception, who call themselves friends of those who call themselves Jews and are not. These are the deceived ones. They're going to defend the 7 day calendar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and deny that they are to be given to Yahweh on the eighth day. We're going to prove that the eighth day that Moses commanded them in Leviticus 9:1, he summoned Aaron and his priest and elders on the eighth day. Well, if the Gregorian calendar's right, there's no such thing as an eighth day. And so then, they couldn't come on an eighth day. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3. On the eighth day, they were to bring their sons to be circumcised. The firstborn who had the preeminence out of the 2, verse 20 through 22, on the eighth day it was time to circumcise the Messiah. And in the King James said he was named Jesus, the name that had been given to him before he conceived. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how could he be called Jesus when Jesus is not a Hebrew name? Some more deception from the Jews who claim to be Jews and are not. And some of the Gentiles, those of the false whore church, that brought in the worship of Jesus, along with the traditions of Christmas and the worship of the sun. That is S-U-N day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you something here to show you the error of the seventh-day calendar, the Saturday people. And if I've got any seventh-day listeners, I want you to contact Pastor Buddy and explain to me something right here tonight. If there's no such thing as keeping time in a monthly cycle of lunar accordance to the scriptures, and we know that there is, and I've got many scriptures that would confirm it, then why do we have the Messiah here in Luke 2:21, that he came to the temple on the eighth day? Now, I want to ask you, seventh-day Gregorian Nimwitz, pardon me to get so plain, but it's true. Why should I listen to somebody that cannot accept that the Messiah was brought on the eighth day? Now, what day was that? What do you say? It must have been on Sunday. That's the eighth day. Now, wait a minute. Sunday to Saturday is how many days? You see what I'm talking about? The first day of the week would have been on a Monday, according to the Gregorian calendar. Well, the Catholic Church says that he was crucified on a Friday and he got up before Sunday morning. Impossible. Even children can count and discern the error of the church that teaches that he crucified on Friday. Well, let's come back and take those who said he was crucified on Wednesday and he got up on Friday night, trying to prove that their Sabbath was on a Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever read in the Bible where it specifically says that he was killed on the evening of the 14th? He died at 3 o'clock. We know exactly what time of the day he died, the ninth hour. He gave up the ghost, or gave up the spirit. And the spirit that he gave up went and preached to the souls that was disobedient, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Confirmed by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, that he ascended, before he ascended, he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and there he preached to the souls disobedient that he might be the God of the living and those who had passed on. The eighth day, he was circumcised. What day was that, you seventh-day people? Now, you Sunday people, you S-U-N people, not the S-O-N people, you see, they named their days after the pagan planets of the, gave them up to worship the host of heaven. This is why that Yahweh is against those people that name their days and their holy days, the holy, the holy days. Now, we discussed with you in part two of what holly and the little red holly berries and the lights and the symbols of the paganistic worship of those who would worship on December the 25th. This is the 23rd to March the 24th, and then we have the 25th, and they say Christians will bow around the world and say that's Christ's birthday. Bah humbug. Not true. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you're just a spiritual Scrooge. You're just trying to mess up a good thing. Why do you want to interfere? Let us eat, drink, and be merry. Let us imagine a vain thing. Let us worship the host of heaven. Let us worship on Thor's Day. Or Sun Day. Or Saturn Day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you, that was an eighth day, and he was presented on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him. Well, we go back to circumcision, ladies and gentlemen, and I told you that they were to be circumcised according to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3, on the eighth day. That's when they circumcised. And I'll get this real quick. In the book of John, chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, it is recorded that the Pharisees, these that said they were Jews and were not, but were of the household of Satan, being the children of the offspring of Judah, righteous Hebrew Judah, not a Jew. You know that Christians believe that Abraham was a Jew? I thought there's any such thing as a Jew. Did you know that they thought that Jacob was a Jew and Isaac was a Jew? And there's people that will swear and grit their teeth and gnash on you when you tell them that there was no such thing before Judah became known as Jews or his household. What they won't tell you is that the birthright firstborn son of Judah was a Canaanite blood connection. I'm going to repeat that. In the 38th chapter, the firstborn of Judah. Oh, they try to scrub him out and sweep him under the rug and put Zara or Faraz into his place, and that ain't going to happen on Pastor Buddy's watch. I'm a watchman on the wall. I know. I've read the book. I've been over the page. I've meditated on the scriptures for hours and days and weeks and years. I've had a continuous study of the Word of Yahweh. The Bible said to study to show yourself approved and to avoid deception, because Yahweh's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I've never run across anybody. Well, I can't say that. I've run across a few men and women, and I have to say that in all due respect to their knowledge. They had a lot more knowledge than I did. But they had earned it. They put their time in. They had labored. They had studied. They had prayed. They had fasted for the truth. And the Bible said the truth will make you free. My people, Hosea 4 and 6, they are destroyed because of these pagan practices around Christmas time. More people sin and come short and fail to own up to the truth during this time, more than any other time except Easter. These are the two pagan days that Satan has had a field day with the Santa Claus and the Easter bunnies and the paganistic ways of the heathen that they have learned and converted it into Christianity. And there's a church on the earth that calls that, and she's called the whore of Revelation chapter 17, and you need to avoid her and her bedroom and her beauty. You need to flee from her and hide yourself. himself. In the book of Luke 1:59, John, the Revelator, Yahweh in Hebrew, he was brought on the eighth day himself. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, he was brought and was circumcised on the eighth day. But if there's no such thing as an eighth day, according to these lying dogs, these heathen that learn the ways of the heathenistic, you say, I don't put up a Christmas tree. You teach false doctrine. You might as well hang up a tree and bow down before it, because it ain't going to talk back to you, and neither with a Gregorian calendar of a seven-day cycle. It's not going to answer you. If you don't worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, you're going to have to answer to him. Leviticus 14 and 10, on the eighth day, bring two males. On the eighth day. Oh, there ain't no such thing as an eighth day, Pastor. Put it, glory to God. It's just 7 days. God made the earth in 7 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. But on the eighth day, he made Adam. This is what we're talking about. The firstborn, Adam, was the firstborn of Yahweh. He is the firstborn, birthright son to the inheritance, and Satan brought his firstborn out of the womb of Adam's wife and tried to get his blessings put upon him. Cain was not circumcised. Cain didn't have a covenant redemption testimony. Abel knew what his mother had done, that she'd been beguiled. The word itself is symbolic with the sexual overtones, according to the book of the Corinthians, as Paul expounded, who was beguiled. That word in Greek has sexual connotation. Leviticus 15:14, on the eighth day, take two doves and bring it to the entrance to the tent. If it wasn't an eighth day, what day of the week did they bring these offerings to Yahweh as was commanded? And the eighth day was a holy and a solemn day and a Sabbath day.
Would that be on Saturday?
Oh, dear. Sorry, Gregorian. You flubbed the dub. How about Sunday? I'm sorry. We only got 7 days in your calendar. You say, well, there's no such thing as an eighth-day calendar, Pastor, but I never heard it because he said he rested on the seventh day, and that had to be the Sabbath. Well, let me show you something here. You come back. Stop. Ladies and gentlemen, it took me over 20 years of Seventh-day Saturday keeping to get this message. And when it did, it was like somebody dropped a nuclear spiritual bomb right in the middle of my belly. And when I began to see the formula of the lunar Sabbath, what a great, marvelous freedom of understanding that flowed from the scriptures of the eighth day, Leviticus 15:29. On the eighth day, she must take two doves to the priest at the entrance of the tent meeting. That was on a Sabbath day, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't appear, according to the Bible, you did not appear to the tent until the appointed Sabbath to worship and to offer your offerings. And Leviticus 22:27, when a calf or a lamb or a goat is born, it's to remain with its mother for 7 days, and the eighth day, on the eighth day, it will be made acceptable as an offering to Yahweh. The priest always offered on the seventh day. Leviticus in chapter 23, verse 36, for 7 days you shall present offerings made to Yahweh by fire, and on the eighth day you shall hold a sacred assembly. That's a Sabbath. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. Blow the trumpet. Now we're going to start right there come Wednesday or Friday night. I'll probably do it Friday night and Saturday night. I'm going to start with that particular verse of Scripture. And we're going to go into the time appointed for the Messiah to come and to be born. The approximate times and seasons, we know. We don't know the day and the hour, but we know the approximate seasons and signs, even to his return. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 36. For 7 days present an offering made by fire, and on the eighth they hold a sacred assembly and present it to Yahweh. You shall do no regular work on the eighth day. Well, how could that be, Pastor Buddy? Ladies and gentlemen, the formula is displayed in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, and a blind man, a fool, though a fool, would not err therein. Search the scriptures for wherein you think. If you grew up with a Roman calendar hanging on your wall, and that's all you ever knowed, that's all you'll ever get until you pray, seek Yahweh for truth. Everything that you adopt and take as you were raised up with could not be right. And a strong possibility it's wrong. Because straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and only a few there be that find it. But the whole world is worshiping on a Gregorian 7-day calendar. You even work on a Gregorian calendar, and it will take you out of the rhythm of Yahweh's Sabbaths. Come out of her, my people. You want to come out? So, with the beginning of the 15th day of the 7th month, how we get there? Was it a fact that Yahweh himself died for our sins? Is it not written in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and there he was the firstborn of Mary. He was Yahweh's chosen one. He was the incarnated God of the universe that came and presented himself, made himself a flesh body, and walked here for 33 years. And a symbol of Joseph he was. And a symbol of Joseph he will ever be, because Joseph had the birthright, and from the stone shepherd of Genesis 49, verse 24, the Messiah was promised to come from this lineage, and everybody believes now by the lying pen of the scribes and the deceit of the serpent people called Jews, who are not, have deceived even the very elect. Leviticus chapter 23. So beginning with the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the crops in the land, celebrate the festival of Yahweh 7 days. The first day is a rest, and the eighth day is a rest. Oh, my. What are we going to do? This Pastor Buddy has made me worry. And I've always kept Saturday as a Sabbath. Or I've always kept Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, you can cry, but that ain't going to solve the problem. You know what would solve it? If you'd repent. If you would confess that the beginning of the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the crops in the land, celebrate the festival for 7 days. 7 days beginning on the 15th day. Counting the 15th, going to the 21st is 7 days. Then on the 22nd, you're going to celebrate and keep the eighth day. Now, Manila, and you've been led to believe the lie of the Roman demons of the Church of Revelation 17. She sits on seven hills. She's got you sitting under a Christmas tree tonight. She's got you watching the blinking lights, and you're fascinated. Oh, but it's such a beautiful time. I wish we'd get a snowy white snow, and we could hear jingle bells and Santa Claus landing his sleigh upon the roof. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house. No one was reading the Bible, because everybody is in doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, you better shake off doubt and get in the faith. Beginning on the 15th day, you shall worship 7 days, and then on the 8th day, you shall have a solemn day of rest. The 8th day is a day of rest, and these lying dogs, I've heard them bark like dogs, but they ain't got no bite. They're little chihuahuas. Wowed and wooed by the lion pen of the scribes and those who claim to be out of the house of the Jews. And Yahweh is telling you himself that they are in error. Leviticus 25, verse 22, when you plant during the 8th year, you shall eat of the crop that will continue to eat from the harvest till the 9th year comes in. When you plant during the 8th year, this is contractual upon the day that Yahweh said every 49 years they let the land rest. And they begun that rest on the 8th day. One is a new moon. It was a holy day. It was kept every month, not just on the 7th month or the month of the Passover. You say, Pastor Buddy, I'm just going to go ahead and keep it the way I've always kept it. You're confusing me. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Confusion is of the devil. Where the devil has got confusion, there's ever evil work. That could go in calendar you got up is evil. It's a lie of the devil. He's a liar and a father of it. And if you're deceived by it, you say, well, if I was to start worshiping like you do, Pastor Buddy, I'd lose my job. It would be better if you lost your job and never worked a day in your life, as opposed to going on in your tradition, denying Yahweh and the conscience of your heart, and die and go to hell. Or you'd be planted forever. Numbers chapter 6, verse 10, on the 8th day, you bring an offering to the entrance, to the tent of meeting. On the 8th day, Gamaliah, son of Pedazurah, the leader of the people of Manasseh, brought his offering on the 8th day. On the 8th day, Numbers 29, verse 35, on the 8th day, remember you start out in verse 1, on the new moon, Numbers 29, 1, then on verse 35, on the 8th day, hold an assembly and do no regular work.
Well, how could I do that? We just 7 days on the creation, glory to God.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder you're so ignorant and unlearned. You have listened to the lying pen of the scribes and those who claim to be Jews and are not, and you've forgotten the firstborn. And the day that he was circumcised. I gotta close. My time is fast gone. John 7 and 22, I'll read you. I'm going to read you verse 23. And it came to pass, as the Messiah was healing on the Sabbath day, they criticized his work as work. commanded the man to take up his bed and walk. The Messiah said, well, wait a minute here. What we got going on here? Isn't it written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, verse 3, that on the eighth day, which is the Sabbath, which is the day of offering, you're to circumcise, and here you are circumcising on the eighth day, and I'm healing the whole body on the eighth day, and you criticize me, and you yourselves are circumcising on the Sabbath, proving it was the eighth day that the Messiah was worshiping on the Sabbath, and we've got these monkeys that has made a mockery out of Yahweh's truth. They get on the radio and tell you that there's no such thing as an eighth day Sabbath. Well, day one is a Sabbath. That's a holy non-working day. It was not known as a Sabbath. It was just known as a non-working day, to work servile. You could go down and rear up the temple. You could do charity work for Yahweh on the first day of the month. That's his month. It was the dark moon. He commanded them not to work until they seen the first crescent light, and then they worked 6 days. That brought you to the first quarter, which is the eighth day of the month. Oh, my. That's a formula. Now, to confirm that, go to John 7:23 and read if he wasn't circumcising and healing on the Sabbath day, which according to Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3, that's the day that they will be circumcised. And the other scriptures I've given you confirms that they came and offered their offerings up, and you only do that on the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen, and it always was on the eighth day of Yahweh's calendar of the lunar connection. Now, closing out, I'm going to bring you the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, as I quoted it, verse 1 and 2. There is a formula hidden there in plain sight that tells you how to keep Yahweh's laws and Sabbaths. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if I'd done that, I couldn't work. Because sometimes the Sabbath falls on Monday, sometimes it falls on Tuesday, sometimes it's on Wednesday. That's true. What's that got to do with the pagan ways of the devil? Why not the ways of the heathen? The Catholic calendar, the Gregorian calendar, that was orchestrated and illustrated by the Catholic Church with Pope Gregory in the 14th century nailing it down and hung it on every man, woman, and child's heart. And now we are keeping not only the pagan holidays, we are keeping the pagan Sabbaths that Satan has brought in on the weekend of Saturday or Sunday. And the Muslims keep Friday. There you are, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Take your choice. In the world, that's your choice. In the Bible, you've got the eighth day. Every eighth day, it renews itself. Eight is a new beginning. And ladies and gentlemen, I just pray and I hope and I trust that Yahweh could give you the truth and show you the errors that you had. I erred. It's easy to err. Your firstborn. Bring me your firstborn. Offer them to me on the eighth day. Bring me your firstborn. The Messiah, the Christ, the one you call Jesus, he's a firstborn. We're going to tell you when he was born, ladies and gentlemen, come Wednesday or come Friday night. We'll tell you live, Yahweh willing. And Saturday night, I'll spend 2 hours on your behalf to tell you exactly in the codes hidden from the world. Not adopted. See, the world don't want the truth. The world hates the truth. They hate the Bible. But they all carry one to church. No, use you carrying a Bible if you don't know what it says. No use of you carrying a Bible if you don't know the interpretation of the scripture. Do you understand? Like the eunuch that was sitting there going to church. He'd been up to church. He'd come back with the Bible, reading it. And Philip said, do you understand what you read? And he said, now listen, folks. He was a churchgoer. How can I? Except some man show me. And right there, Philip began at the very scripture and taught him the ritual command of baptism. And the old eunuch was overcome and he said, here's water, hold the deal. He said, would you baptize me? He said, if you really believe it, I will. And the Bible said, he sprinkled him and let him go. I don't think so. He didn't give him the last rites. He gave him the firstborn rites and took him down into the water. Into the water. He buried him in a watery grave, symbolizing that the old man is buried and the new man is to emerge. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. A lot of people don't know what baptism is for. It's for the remission of sins. If you always said that peanut butter was for the remission of sins, you'd probably want apple juice. You want something contrary. You wouldn't eat peanut butter. But I'd eat a whole gallon of it. If he said, eat a gallon of peanut butter and you'll get salvation. He didn't say that. He said, if you'll get baptized in water for the remission of your sins in my name. And in the book of Revelation 21, again, verse 4, everyone that went into that temple, 12 gates symbolized by the altar of Yahweh, for the 12 tribes. It ain't for the Mongolians. It ain't for the Mongolian stompers. It ain't for those of other, when we talk about those who have sent salvation around the world to all the people of the world. Go not to the Gentiles. This meat is for those who love me and will hear my voice, although they're scattered among the Gentiles. And that word has been so loosely used in conjunction with the Israelites that when among the Gentiles, he said, go to the lost sheep among the Gentiles and preach to them. Don't preach to the Gentiles. Preach to my people among the Gentiles. And Yahweh said, I come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you tonight. We got to get out of here because our time is all coming gone. We'll see you. That will be Friday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I'll bring you part 4 and part 5 of the firstborn. If you will tune in, we'll give it to you, ladies and gentlemen, as the message to tell you approximately when the Messiah was born. And we'll prove it in the Word of Yahweh. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll see you Friday night. And we love you. And we send this message out, especially to all those of the house of Israel, of the firstborn. May Yahweh graciously bless you and keep you. May He bless you in these hours of traditions and pagan ways. May He rest your soul in the comfort of knowing the truth. Because it's best to know the truth than to keep the ways of the traditional world. Full well, He said, you reject my commandments to keep your own tradition. When He comes back and He calls you up on the 8th day, you know when you're going. You know what day that is? Are you going to be led astray by the lying pen of the scribes and the false prophets and the pillbox preachers? Oh, it's Sunday. You're coming to Sunday school. Oh, it's Saturday. We're having our meeting over here. We want to be Jews. We want to be peace. That's God. deceived and be not carried away with divers winds and doctrines. Come out of her, my people. I love you. I'll see you Friday night around the world at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time with part 4 of the firstborn of the Church of the Living Messiah.